Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, I'm Matt Hansen.
And I'm Lee Hutchison.
And welcome to the Senate floor.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the Senate floor. We're really glad to have yous back here again. It feels like it's been a wee while since we've recorded because we recorded our Suicide Squad like an episode a week before it got released. So it feels a long overdue return to the Senate floor with you, Matt.
Yeah, it's good to be back. This is my first recording post my first week of school, so I am a little bit more tired than I usually am, but I'm very happy to be here.
It's such a shame that podcasting is an audio medium. You wouldn't be able to see that Matt Hansen has actually grayed incredibly well over the past week, that he now resembles a young Patrick Stewart.
Well, I haven't quite gone bald.
Not yet, but give it to the second week, and when they start doing corporate law, and then that's when it'll kick in.
No corporate law this semester, so I could put that...
You're in luck. So this is a subject I've been really keen to talk for a while, and it was kind of prompted by listening to you and Tristan a few weeks ago that you were talking about that you were starting your new course, your law course, and you mentioned that your teacher encouraged you to embrace, you know, your geeky sides, your passions, and continue to pursue them because it's good for your work sanity. It's good for fun. You know, it can't be all work and no play.
Yeah, they pretty much told us you have to keep your hobbies. It's good for your mental health.
Yeah, and it's a message I get in my work as well. I work in mental health education, and it's something that we're always encouraged to do, that pursue your passions, to at the end of the day, to go off and do things that make you happy, things that you enjoy, passions, pursuits. And that's kind of what this episode is going to be about, that when you've got those stresses of everyday work and life, like, what do you, Matt, and what do I like to go do? What do we see? What, you know, do we watch movies where we escape to another fantasy world, or do we watch movies that echo some of the problems that we're facing in life? Like, what is our kind of go-to films, books, songs for facing them? So, you know, as you were saying last week, you've been embracing your geeky side. What do you, Matt, in particular, go to when you think, oh, I'm feeling stressed with how things are going, maybe at school? What would you do when you get home at night?
It depends on the level of stress, because if I'm really stressed out, then I don't want to watch anything too heavy. So I'll put on, I don't know, something like either a comedy or a sitcom or something where the world isn't taken so seriously, to kind of get myself out of that mode of thinking. But I do remember when I was younger, and part of the reason why I podcast now and have remained so passionate about it. I mean, when I was, you know, starting from 5 years onward, I mean, Star Trek was kind of my escape, because, I mean, some of the subject matters could be heavy, but at least it was removed enough from reality where I could not worry about things for an hour or two.
What was it about, like, the Star Trek universe that you found that provided such a great escape? Was it this idealist future, or was it just the characters?
It was mostly the characters. The idealist future is nice, but that's kind of a high concept that you don't really even think about consciously. When you just watch them for fun, you're watching them for the stories and for the people. And if it's a lighter episode, so much the better. But yeah, Me personally, I watch Star Trek for the characters. So,
yeah, I remember being a kid that I was so into Star Trek, and that was like my escape for me. That I lived in a small countryside village in Scotland that everything was a trek and adventure to get to, and somehow watching Star Trek made the world feel a bit more smaller and like a happier place. That I wouldn't swap where I grew up for anything, but it could be tough at times to be isolated from kind of the larger world, and being able to sit and watch Star Trek was such a thrill. And, you know, even now, that this afternoon I've been watching a couple of Star Trek episodes before I went to the cinema, and it's just nice to escape that. I know these characters. It's like a comfort blanket for me that, you know, my girlfriend's been away for the past 10 days on holiday, so the flat's been pretty quiet and lonely. So coming back and watching Star Trek with familiar characters, even episodes I've watched 1,000 times over, can provide that bit of comfort and familiarity that has been missing in the flat.
Yeah. That's kind of the mood that I get into too. And whenever Trek related stuff happens around my town, I usually go and attend. For example, like the independent movie theater here in town shows a lot of cult classic films each week, and I know that in a couple of weeks, I think on the weekend of the 16th of September, they're going to be showing First Contact. So,
oh my god, I'm so jealous right now. I'd love to see that film again.
So I'm going to go see it on the big screen again. So that'll be fun, and that'll just take my mind off of whatever's bothering me at that time.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that you like attend a lot of these like Star Trek events around your like local town. Is being like with like fellow Trek fans, whether it's in your local town or Las Vegas, does that help with some of like the kind of stresses and anxieties of real life? Having like, I think for example, like a few weeks time, I'm off to their equivalent of Star Trek Las Vegas here in Europe, and like, you know, things are, you know, all right just now, but I'm thinking, oh, it's not too far to Star Trek. That'll be great. It'll be great to catch up with some people I know, some people that are looking to meet up. And that's so exciting for me, and it's given me something to look forward to, and which always helps. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, it's definitely the same for me. And you can ask Tristan this too when you talk to him, because I think he felt the same way when we were in Las Vegas. It's kind of fun when you're with people that not only love the thing that you love, but understand it so well that, you know, with me and Tristan and you know, the Earl Grey guys, when we were all getting together and talking, half of the things we were talking about were references. Like, we snuck in references to our casual conversation, and you don't do that in real life. And it felt strange, but it felt fun. And then by the end of the weekend, we were like, oh, we have to go back to real life now and start dereferencing our conversations.
And that could be quite tough as well, can't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're... It might seem silly, but there is such a thing when you have that kind of group of people that you spend an extended amount of time with over the weekend. There is such a thing as post-con depression, and this one was particularly difficult for all of us this year. But yeah, that's the beautiful thing about coming together, whether it's yearly or weekly or monthly, just to be passionate about the same thing among everyone there. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's often one thing that I've always found about mental health, is that so many people can feel alone. And I don't know about you, Matt, when you were growing up as a Star Trek fan, but I felt quite alone in my passions sometimes. And the idea that I would live in a world where I would share my passion would be shared by people in America or all around the globe, and that I could be able to talk about Star Trek in such a deep way really is uplifting. It's such a... that I think the internet, for example, really can help with people's mental healths and anxieties, that no one is alone anymore. You know, we can break that down. You could say that people are still alone. Is the internet necessarily facilitating a real experience? But a lot of people I know have discovered that people share their niche passions for a specific character, a specific tale, and that really has helped people.
Right. I was gonna say, it's kind of ironic that we felt so alone during growing up with regards to Star Trek, because you and I were growing up at least in the Star Trek heyday of the 90s. It was kind of everywhere, so it's ironic that you felt alone, but like you said, the internet as we know it today wasn't around back then, so I almost feel like Star Trek is talked more about now that there is a social media than it ever was back in the 90s.
There was always that classic saying that what fueled the internet, and it was porn and Star Trek forums, that I think Star Trek really has been at the pioneer of pushing forward, like bringing people together. But like, I didn't have the internet in my village until about like 2000, 1999. So even though Star Trek was at its heyday, I lived in a place where it was like kind of simple living, really. It was, you could almost compare it to like a Baku village in a way. So the idea that there was kind of a shared passion amongst many people really was missing. You maybe had the local football team, but they really, if you were into say Star Trek or a small American TV show or like Seinfeld or Frasier, you know, they may have been popular around the world, but you weren't seeing any of that reflected in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, it's completely true. So I'm curious, Lee, because I know your movie tastes and I know some of your TV tastes. When you get anxious, what kind of movies do you turn to? Are you usually going to your, you know, forgive me, but pretentious artsy films?
Yes. That's where it kind of came up, where I thought, oh, this would be an interesting kind of debate, because when I feel stressed or anxious, you know, I touch wood, I've never suffered from depression, but I've had my blue and low moments, and I always embrace the pretentious movies that I prefer not to escape what I'm thinking or feeling, and I want to see it reflected back on me. And when I felt like kind of at a low moment, and you know, I think back to actually when I was kind of thinking about this episode, like I was like, oh, kind of what have I embraced when I've been at a low moment? And I think about when I discovered, for example, like about a good few years ago, I'd found out my grandmother had a stroke. And I was like, you know, I didn't live anywhere remotely near to the family or anything at the time. So I was kind of a bit isolated in where I lived. So it's not like I could just rush up back home or anything like that. I just kind of had to sit around and, you know, keep up to date with maybe the news back home. And it got to the evening and, you know, nice quiet. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go to the cinema. And I watched Moonrise Kingdom. And I'm like a huge Wes Anderson fan, and it's one of those films I've only ever watched it that one time, and I associate the kind of the painful memories or something with it, but whenever I look at my like shelf, I think that film would be one I kind of would embrace with that. And even last year when I'd lost a grandparent, I thought, oh, I remembered, like, it was once again out, you know, hundreds of miles away from anything, nothing I could do on the day, you know, you've just got to deal with it in your own way. And I decided to go see Noah Baumbach's Mistress America, and it's quite a pretentious movie, and it was all about that kind of indie dramas. But, like, for me, when I feel pain, I need to see it reflected back on me, and I find that there's something so comforting in that. I recently don't know if it reminds me of what you kind of were saying there about referencing. I was having a heart-to-heart a few weeks ago with a good friend of mine, and I quoted a movie, like, I was kind of a bit upset, and I quoted a line from 45 Years where it was talking about males being more interested in legacy, and if, like, life doesn't pan out, they're disappointed, and women need to remind them about being emotional because they'll just end up killing themselves when life doesn't turn out that way. And my friend pointed out, she went, you know, hiding behind, like, a movie quote, and it's something I'd noticed before, that people have kind of mentioned it once or twice, that when I was doing my counselling training, we had to talk about kind of scenarios or situations, and I would often kind of pull a parallel from a movie or a quote from a movie which I thought really echoed something I was thinking. And I've always thought that these kind of movies, where they are deep, they discuss the life and relationships, passions, losses in quite a great detail, have always been something that I've been able to pull from. And perhaps it's something that I hide behind and use as a way to explain myself to the world in a way I can't articulate with my own words. And maybe that's kind of, maybe I'm just one of a kind in that aspect, but somehow I doubt it.
What you're saying is, and I'm going to throw in another reference here, so this is like what we're speaking about in action. So when it comes to you explaining yourself through movie references, that kind of makes you like those people in Darmok. You speak in movie.
Yes.
You speak in movie metaphor.
Absolutely. And I even had it came up when I'd finished my counselling training. I found it quite interesting, because in, say, counselling training, it's the same. We're encouraged to embrace our passions and everything like that. But we, like, you were like doing this for like a year, and you kind of were having to talk quite deeply about yourself to like a shared group. And then you would have to, like, that would be the end of the course for the day. Oh, see you later. So it felt very weird to share parts of me that maybe I felt uncomfortable with, or, you know, kind of deeply painful sides of me with people. I was like, I'm going to see them at lunchtime. I'm not wanting them to look at me and thinking, that's that guy that's upset or had that weird life experience or something. So I would prefer to articulate it through a kind of movie as that almost defensive line. And it's almost that feels like there's a contradiction in that for me, that while I'll embrace that these movies, the Linklaters, the Baumbachs, the Wes Anderson movies, to reflect how I'm feeling, in a way, I'm not avoiding how I'm feeling. I'm facing that on, but I'm using those movies out with the visual experience as perhaps a barrier and a defense mechanism.
Well, either that, or, you know, they articulate the way you're feeling in a way that you don't think that speaking could. So,
oh yeah.
So I could see your point there.
Oh yeah, it's like I think of things where there's been issues in relationships or whatever in the past, and you know, I would think, oh, instead of maybe going out for a drink or I'm gonna go drown my sorrows and watch some Star Trek, I would like watch something like a kind of before movie, you know, her, you know, a lot of these like. I love an indie drama about love and romance, and you know, especially ones that are very flawed, and I find them quite relaxing and comforting, and go like that'll be a go-to for me, and I find that is a great therapy, that I can I'm spending that time thinking and analyzing the movie and how I'm feeling, and that almost takes away some of my anxiety, as opposed to perhaps watching something else and then avoiding it. But that's just me personally.
You know, I totally get it. And so you like, I mean, that's kind of surprising. So you like confronting your problem head on with movies that deal with the same subject matter.
Yes, for sure.
See, sometimes I can feel that way, but it's not often. And usually when I feel that way, I try to watch something about what I'm feeling, but something that's taken in a lighter context. Like, mm-hmm. like for example, I mean, you know, I'm starting my career in law. I worked in a law office for 3 years. I've met good people. I've met a lot of bad people. And sometimes, I mean, I love what I do, but the nature of the work can get to you. So what's actually been helping me, and I watched it a lot during this first week of law school, is I'm doing my first run through of Boston Legal. The TV series.
Awesome. Hell of a cast.
Yeah, seriously. I had never seen it before, and I got into it on recommendation from Tristan and a few other people. And it's just a thing where, like, it deals with what I do for a living, but it does so in a very, very farcical way, where it reminds me not to take life too seriously. I mean, I know from experience that law firms aren't really like that, but sometimes, I mean, you'd be surprised some of the people you meet that can be like that. So it just reminds me never to take things way too seriously.
It must be quite, like, not to blow smoke up your ass here, but for example, with law, you need to be one of like the smartest guys in the room and beyond to be a lawyer. Or to even study to be law.
It's kind of horrible when you actually watch the show, but I do kind of want to be like James Spader in that series.
I can imagine. And like being that kind of almost smartest guys in the room doing something that not many other people can relate to, it must be like comforting in a way when you get to the end of the working day and what you're experienced in seeing and doing. And not many people that you know or perhaps can talk to out with that kind of world can go, oh yeah, I get that. So maybe like watching those movies is a way of like echoing that. Like you're almost in on the joke that you're sharing that experiences with them, and you can see things that you want to talk about reflected in that TV show.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, it can be, you know, it quite often is a serious business at some times, so it doesn't afford the opportunity, much opportunity for us to laugh at ourselves as legal professionals. So shows like that, and you know, movies like you know, My Cousin Vinny, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I've never seen it.
Oh man, you have to see it. I'm surprised you haven't.
No.
It affords us legal people to just laugh at the absurdity of some of the things we do, so.
Because, and you know, I always think of something that I think doesn't get brought up maybe too often on the Nerd Party is like music as well, that for a lot of people, music is the go-to kind of comfort when people are stressed, that getting out of work, putting on that music, going for a walk, listening to music. Do you do that? Like, is there like songs, music, podcasts that you listen to that really help you with your kind of stresses and anxieties that you might experience?
Definitely podcasts. I mean, when I was working and had my own office, I could pretty much listen to whatever I wanted to. So most of my day was spent listening to other stuff, and that's how I kept current with everything that was going on. But yeah, music for sure. Especially when I still try to go work out every day, after school and after work. And, yeah, I have a lot of go-to music on my iPhone. I mean, music has always been a really crucial part of my life ever since I was little. I mean, like ever since I was like 1 or 2 years old. And so, yeah, there are quite a few things on my iPod. I'm trying to think of what my go-tos are. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you and the listening audience. I mean, I may not come across it too much on the show, but if you looked on my iPhone, you could tell that I was gay. Well, I'll just put it that way.
So what kind of songs, like if you've got any kind of particular songs and even podcasts that I'm that you would recommend to people perhaps that they were listening and going, oh, I can relate to some of the things Matt Hansen's telling me. What kind of podcast would you recommend that they maybe download, or songs that they maybe want to put on their iPod, and anything that helps you that might help other people?
For me, because we do this show, Lee, because we love movies and film and all that sort of stuff. So a lot of stuff I listen to is movie or film related. Sometimes it's fun to just hear people take the piss out of movies. So I usually love listening to stuff like the We Hate Movies podcast.
Yes.
Just because they're a fun group of guys. It is raunchy, but that's part of the charm. And, you know, it is a complaining podcast, but they do so in such an entertaining way that I kind of love it.
Yes.
I also love, you know, shout out to our fellow Nerd Party member. I do love listening to the Words with Nerds podcast.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that too. I mean, one day me and you will have to copy them and start a podcast drunk or with some drinks in hand.
And start insulting each other.
Exactly, and DC. Well, also, I suppose we're halfway there already.
Well, we are halfway there. We kind of line up with our DC views. That's really fun to listen to. As far as music goes, I'm not kidding you. Probably you can name any gay icon, and I probably have them on my iPod somewhere. Or if they're not on my iPhone, they're on my iTunes.
Well, here's one that I would class as a gay classic. ABBA?
I have a couple of ABBA, but I'll put it this way. A lot of my early musical choices were influenced by the MTV of this time I grew up in, because, mm-hmm. I was born in 1989, and my mom, you know, left her job to be a stay-at-home mom to take care of me, but of course she had to maintain the household and all that sort of stuff, so what she would do is she would tape like a block of music videos off of MTV at the time, and she would just sit me in front of it because I liked listening to all that music. So a lot of my early musical choices were shaped by what was playing on MTV circa 89 through 92, I would say. One of the first people I ever ended up seeing in concert was Madonna. So,
oh yeah, I've never been a big Madonna fan, if I'm honest with you.
No, well, yeah, I mean, she's an acquired taste for most people, but like I said, you have to think of what was back on in those days.
Oh, definitely.
So there was that. I mean, one of the first, the first concert I ever went to when I was 14, it was for my birthday, was Cher.
Of course, like I always think of, Cher has a kind of. It always makes me smile when I'm in a nightclub, and like I've got a lot of gay friends, so I end up in the gay clubs. And one of my friends and friend of the show, Jamie, no, there's two friends of the show, Jamie, but Jamie Reed, he's one of these guys, he's obsessed with Cher. And I always think of when I hear that song that there was one night he texted us all, "Do you believe in life after love?" And he was one of those things, that's his drunken text message. So there's one night he texts us this message, and we're all sitting there like, we text back, "Oh yeah, I can hear something inside me say," and blah, blah, blah. And then we never heard back from him. We found out that he got so drunk that he'd like fallen off a little small step and broken his ankle, that he was so drunk and excited about singing along to Cher songs. So whenever any of us are in a club and that song comes on, we're always thinking of our friend Jamie. So that song and Cher is probably something that always brings a smile. Whenever you mention Cher there, I could be the most stressed ever and I could think of that Cher song and I just smile and think of the good friends I have.
Yeah, I mean, I think of that too. I mean, I can't say that I ever broke my ankle while being excited about Cher, but a couple of years back I did drop, because I was working back then, so I dropped about $1,000 to get me and two of my friends like ninth row tickets at her last concert.
Jesus.
So it was worth. It ended up being worth it, and it was just, those are memories that I'll always hang on to.
Definitely.
I mean, that's part of the, that's, you know, I can't really do that anymore because I'm not working, but for the 3 years that I was working, I live music, getting to hear the artists that I grew up loving, was a way of escaping a lot of stress. I love going to concerts when I can.
Yeah, like they're a great escape for me too. That you know, unfortunately, Scotland doesn't have the best live music scene in terms of the things I really like. I'm into my rock and roll and indie music, like that's my things. But for me, I really love the special events that I have to travel down to London quite a few times of the year to see the sort of events I like. That this year I went to see Hans Zimmer live, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And then, like, I'd obviously seen Interstellar, Star Trek Into Darkness live at the Albert Hall the past few years, and going down again in a few months to see Jurassic Park and Aliens with a live orchestra. And, like, those things just bring such a joy to me because it's movies I love, and it's such a special experience to hear them live. And it's not like seeing a band that's on tour every 6 months or a year. They really are, and like they give me something to look forward to, and hearing that music live for the first time, that's something you've just grown up hearing through your sound system or at the cinema, to hear it with a live orchestra. I think there's few things better than hearing an orchestra tuning up and playing the hits.
Yeah, I was going to say, how jealous were you when you know, with all the people that got to go to the Star Trek Beyond premiere and have it be played with the live orchestra in IMAX?
Well, I'm very jealous. I've seen obviously the last two, so I'm really, really, really hoping that, well, the fact that it's been played live means that it can be done live. So I'm really hoping that maybe in the next 5 months, 6 months, whenever Michael Giacchino's schedule opens up, that they're gonna bring that show back here to London, and then, you know, I'll splash the cash and go down south and see it.
We'll see when he's free again. I mean, that man never stops working. I think, yeah, he is. He's gonna be the one scoring Doctor Strange. So
yeah, that's right. So that should be something to look forward to as well. And you know, I'm the same with music, that I always think of like ABBA's always one sometimes I'll go to, that when I'm running, I love listening to ABBA. I think it's a go-to album that I think, you know, when I'm running, the hardest part sometimes is like clearing your mind. So if there's something that's got you anxious or stressed, or there's something going on in your private life, and if you're running and that's in your head, it can be sometimes so hard to get up, to pay attention, to focus, to like push those extra miles. But when you've got something like ABBA, you know, 100% stand by, ABBA is the go-to running album. ABBA Gold, you know, SOS, Waterloo, Dance a Queen, they're all brilliant. You can sing along, they've got a really good tempo, and it certainly keeps me, you know, pushing away when I'm running. That they definitely put a smile on my face.
Yeah, I mean, that you have more ABBA than I do, so
there you go.
Feel good about yourself.
Oh yeah, and I'm the same like with podcasts as well. Like I, you know, the Words of Nerds always brings a smile to my face. That, you know, I listen to a lot of the American politics podcasts, but like one of the like my go to podcasts that always like brings a lot of smile to my face because it's so niche is the Star Wars Minute podcast.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, like there seems to be a real trend in these minute podcasts, but this was like the original one. And there's something about that where you get like a daily dose of in jokes, like you're going on a journey together. That, yeah, you can listen to us, you get us once a week, that's all good. But then like getting a daily dose of something, it feels like a real kind of community feel. So when you're listening in, you've got the guests and you're going like minute at a time through a movie. And the first three they did was the original trilogy. And that was like really good, really insightful. But they just finished the Phantom Menace run a month ago. And it was so fun. I was so excited each day to download that show, to hear people like mock the Phantom Menace, talk about their Phantom Menace memories, and like just reflect on what a ridiculous movie that was. And that was always a bit of a joy for me. So when that came to an end after like 7 months, it was a bit of a hard one, but it's going to be back again in a few weeks time, hopefully. So that's always a joy for me. But I always think songs as well really do, like they take you back to moments and memories. I think that when you listen to a song, like you were saying with Cher, like now whenever you probably listen to a Cher song, you probably think of that amazing night as well.
Yeah, for sure. And also too, I mean, like I don't want to give the wrong impression that I only listen to gay icons. My music tastes are a bit eclectic. I or at least I like to think so. Actually, a lot of what I grew up with, and a lot of the times what I'll go to when I'm feeling particularly stressed, because it's just music from a simpler era, was, you know, quite a bit of the stuff that you find on, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was stuff that I grew up with. So I from about the time I was 7 to the time I was maybe 11 or 12, all I really listened to was anything from the 50s to the 70s.
And they've got such a good tempo, and they're so uplifting as well. They're not these overproduced songs. Like, these people really did put their, like, heart and soul into the melodies, the lyrics. They really are quite uplifting songs.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, you know, when I'm feeling just angry or punk rockish or just whatever, just trying to sort out through a lot of intense emotions, I mean, one of my go-tos all the time is actually... based, you know, thanks to your little country there, Lee, one of my favorite go-to things is Garbage. I love Shirley Manson.
Yeah, I think she played here a few months ago. I've never been a big Garbage fan. I did enjoy some of the tracks from the first album.
Now, that does have special memories for me, because I don't know if you ever saw this picture, but they came to my town a few years ago when they were doing a new tour for a new album. And I actually got to meet and take my picture with Shirley Manson.
Oh, you need to share that with the Nerd Party faithful. I'd love to see that. Like, it was quite surreal, like, a few weeks ago that, like, people always talk about, like, that perfect moment. And, you know, I always think of when I maybe, like, going to a concert or an event, like, oh, man, this is going to be a perfect moment. And it is, like, an amazing experience, but it's never, like, a perfect moment. I remember, like, a few weeks ago, and it's, like, a kind of... I've almost not, it's not, I'm bipolar, but I felt I've had a bipolar kind of month that, like, I've had these amazing highs. Like, I've had people visiting, I've had the festival on here in Edinburgh, and it's been, like, I've been so stimulated with so many amazing things. Like, I was even up a few, last weekend, I was up in the Highlands, and we passed by the Harry Potter viaduct that you see from the movie, and I've been before, but I went back to the Skyfall filming location, and this time, like, the clouds, the mist was there. It was just like the movie.
I'm so jealous. You get to go to all the James Bond locations.
I know, the joys of the British based ones. Even, like, when they shoot in Japan, like, the buildings are really actually just here in London. And it was weird, like, I was kind of so in this, like, bubble of all these amazing times, amazing experiences, that I remember hearing a song when, like, I was out with a friend of the show and some of our listeners, you know, just out. And, like, I was having a lovely cold drink. The sun was out. There was some live music I'd been playing. And then I heard Pulp's Disco 2000 song came on. And I just remember just, like, for, like, about 10 seconds, just everything slowing right down. And I just could feel the smile on my face just explode. And I'm not a naturally kind of smiley person, and I find it, like, really difficult to smile in photos. I just look so awkward, or, like, I've just found out someone's died. And I couldn't get the smile off my face. And it was just hearing that song and everything just coming together. And in the days after that, I had the song put onto my playlist. And I kept thinking, like, I almost kept trying to listen back to that song to capture that feeling and moment, but, like, it wasn't the same. It's like, you know, it had happened, and it was just an amazing moment that the music, the sun, the company, everything generated. And oh yeah, like, that song is definitely now on my playlist and will be forever associated with just time physically slowing down for just even a second or two.
Yeah, so I mean, music does provide a lot of good escapism for me. Another thing that, you know, jumping back into the movie realm for a second, another thing that does provide me with a lot of, I don't know if it's escapism so much as, like, it gets me to think about something else, is watching a movie where I'm fascinated with how they did stuff. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but, like, that's kind of the appeal for me behind a lot of the horror movies that I like. Is because I like listening. I like not only watching them and getting the. There is something to be said about a thrill of, you know, white knuckling it through a movie. Not you know, not the torture porn sort of stuff, but just to be in suspense for 90 minutes is kind of a fun experience for me. But a lot of those movies, I like hearing about the way that they were made, or analyzing the way that they were made, and the ingenuity of some of the directors. Like, for example. This was just a couple days back when I got home from school and I just wanted to do something that wasn't related to reading or something like that. I put on I put on Psycho. I put, you know, okay. And you know, you wouldn't think that escapism would mean watching a Hitchcock movie about a man who cross-dresses as his mother and kills people. But not only do I like the way that movie's shot and told, but I just like sitting there and analyzing the different camera movements, the different aspects of filmmaking. It really speaks to me as someone who genuinely loves movies and the way that movies are made, to watch a film like that and not only get lost in the story, but get lost in the way that Hitchcock made things, or whoever made things, depending on, you know, who the director is. I have to imagine that's part of the appeal of you know, someone like Tristan and Fincher. You just love analyzing filmmaking. So I know that's not everybody's going to be able to relate to that, because not everybody is as deep into films and filmmaking as I am and you are, but it does provide a lot of joy for me to do something like that.
Oh yeah, and the same that I love Fincher too, and Paul Thomas Anderson, Wes Anderson, a lot of these directors, Richard Linklater, you know, I could name so many that I'm just so passionate about that. Just the other day I was watching like a 10-minute video all about like Nicholas Winding Refn, a guy who's colorblind and his use of color, and it's just so fascinating that even though I'm not, you know, I was a student filmmaker for a while, you know, of course, I find things like that, I take such comfort from, like, having that content available at the click of a finger, learning how the masters did it, like, and it enhances my movie-going experience as well. And, you know, when you were talking about films there, like, one thing I find, like, can be sometimes good about, for example, for me, that I like to confront how I'm perhaps feeling and, like, see that in a film. And I think of, like, the past 2 weeks, like I was saying, I had kind of quite a bipolar month. I was having such a great time, but I was conscious that it was all fleeting because of, you know, various circumstances, that the season must end and people always go back home perhaps, or that, you know, it's just the summer is about to end, just so many things. And I went to see like a play last week, The Glass Menagerie with the Cherry Jones. It was amazing. And I went to see the David Brent movie, which was pretty poor. But when I was in those movies, like, there's something so comforting, and the movie and the play, there's something so comforting about being in the dark and just, like, embracing what the movie, or even though I thought the movie was pretty terrible, like, I was kind of, like, watching it along and with the play, and I found myself actually, like, shedding some tears. And it wasn't necessarily because of the film or the content of the play, but it was one of those ones, there's something so therapeutic about being in the dark and just seeing a production, and that you felt you could almost just like escape, that it was different from perhaps like walking down the street or being in your own bed, but there's just something about facing some sort of emotion, or even though the movie wasn't very good, that there was still some triumph and some adversity that someone had to go through. And just like, you're almost that, it's almost that cliche that people throw about, you know, when you're drunk or hormonal, all these things that you get emotional. And I willingly embraced the darkness that these environments perhaps, and it gave me a chance to just kind of unwind. And it was quite a surreal experience, and one that I think's happened quite a few times. And I always think of a film, Once. I don't know if you've ever seen it. That's one of my go-to films. And I remember the first time I saw it at the cinema, like, I was so emotional. Like, I was single at the time, and I was just feeling like I was so loving this love story. It was beautiful. And I was just, like, crying away in the cinema. So I saw it a few weeks later, and I took a friend. And I remember them turning to me at one point going, are you crying? And I was like, oh yes, it's just a very emotional movie. And I think there can be something so cathartic about the cinema experience that can get missed at home. Like the darkness and just being like staring straight on into something so powerful and so strong that can really bring out a lot of emotion in people.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if I could say I get as emotional as you do, but that's part of the reason why I do love going to see these films when they come back for revivals at movie theaters, is just to see the joy of seeing something that you love so much and that you're so familiar with, and for me, something that I've studied the filmmaking technique of, to see that on the big screen and to see it. I think the bigger joy for me is seeing it with an audience that still loves it and still makes it work is so much fun. I mean, the times that I've seen the Alien movies in the theaters, you know, Star Trek, even something like one of my favorite movies to see whenever they bring it back up and revive it is Clue, the Tim Curry movie from the 80s. That is maybe one of the best movies to see with a packed house, because the jokes still land, everything still works, and everybody gets so into it. I can't say that I shed any tears, but I do get chills when I see a movie, when I go watch a movie in a theater that I love and see before, and see that it still works with audiences.
Yeah, like, it's always one of those ones that kind of ties back into that you're not alone in a way, that you see, like, other people are loving it, they're laughing at the same jokes, and, like, you feel among friends, among a community, and that can be sometimes something really hard to find.
I mean, I find, like, something when I see something like a comedy movie like Clue, and I see it with an audience that's working, I mean, part of the fun for me is, like, the emotions that I feel are like, oh, I can't, you know, the audience is so into this, I can't wait till we get to this and this and this joke and see what they think, you know. It's just,
yeah,
I love anticipating reaction. So
yeah, like, I always think of a film that I loved, and I remembered, like, I was 17 and I had just broken up from my first true love, and, you know, naturally devastated. So I went along to see Sideways at my local indie cinema in Aberdeen at the time. Of course I did, like, you know, this is unsurprising, but, like, yeah, I was, like, 17, and, like, I was, you know, I was watching this movie, and I was just so distraught watching it. I was like, oh my god, this guy's heartbroken too, he's, you know, down in the dumps, all these things, and I was like, oh my god, I could relate to it. And I ended up, like, seeing it a further 2 times at the cinema, but what I did was that I went on, like, 2 separate dates to see this movie. So I took like one girl to see this movie, like, we went through to Aberdeen, saw the movie, blah blah blah, and then, like, it was kind of back again like a month and a half later, so I went on another date to see this movie with another girl, and it just, like, you know, just a bit ridiculous.
Know if that's a date movie.
No, it probably isn't. And then, like, a few years, like, my dad was working out in California at the time, and, like, I remember we went out there and passed through the town that they filmed Sideways in. That was, like, a buzz. But just, like, last year, that I'd been on this almost, like, 10-year-plus relationship with the movie, and I went on, like, a Sideways tour. I went to all the wineries, the restaurants, visited all the locations, took all these photos, and I acted out a lot of the scenes, you know, kissing against the same barrels, and, you know, used the tour guide to take all these photos. And, like, it was amazing to see that kind of through, that what was originally a film that provided some comfort from my anxieties and stresses, and that I was looking to my life to reflect back on, ended up, like, last year being one of the greatest days of my life, being able to, like, follow in the footsteps, eat brilliant food, brilliant wine, travel the American California wine country. It was just such a thrill. And that even though films and songs and books and all these things can be, like, emotional at the time, there can be something so powerful that comes out of them, and a great experience that you take with you for the rest of your life, even if at one point in your life it was sad. So yeah, like, Sideways is the perfect example of that for me, and it's definitely not a date movie.
No, I take it neither of those relationships went anywhere.
No, one of them, I think one of them lives in the Himalayas now, and the other lives in New Zealand, so I think that answers that question.
Well, one of the last things that I do want to talk about, because it's a topic that has been, I think, brought up on our podcast consistently for the last month, is, you know, at least my obsession, and really the world's obsession now, with superhero films.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've bemoaned the problems with them, but at the end of the day, I think the reason why I like them, and specifically the Marvel ones, is because, you know, with varying degrees of quality, I think when they work, they're just what is needed at the time. Because the world that we live in today is a very, very serious and often downtrodden place. We have a lot of problems that we didn't have 20 years ago. So I think the reason why it's so big now, and the reason why they're so successful, and when they hit, they really hit, is because there's something about, especially in the case of Marvel movies, where you've spent years, getting to know these characters, and there's something really nice about, you know, twice a year or three times a year, just going to a movie theater and watching these larger-than-life people go on these really, really fun adventures. And, you know, when we get to stuff like either something like The Dark Knight or Winter Soldier or Civil War, watching these people not only go on fun adventures but also confront their inner demons in a way that's really, really dramatically interesting and dramatically fulfilling, there's something special about that. And I think it goes back to classic Greek mythology tales about people who are larger than life confronting these problems. And you know, I realize that sounds very a very pretentious explanation of why I think they're so popular, but
leave that to me, Matt.
But I think there is something to be said for that. So, you know, we can complain about the bad ones, and it's fair to complain about some of the things that don't work. But at the end of the day, when you get something like I said, a Dark Knight or a Batman Begins or an Avengers or Winter Soldier, I mean, I don't want films like that to stop being made. So it at the end of the day, it's a new kind of escapism for me. And like I said, and specifically with the Marvel ones, I feel like they're kind of doing what Star Trek did back in the 90s, is they created this ensemble group of characters that I all really kind of love.
Yeah, like, you know, you're spot on there. And I think a lot of these event movies, that particularly the Marvel and the Nolan Batman movies, that I'll never be more excited for a movie than the Nolan Dark Knight Rises, that I was so excited. And it was such a community feeling that I remember being a little kid and like running home from school to see Batman and all that, and then to have that shared experience, that all my stresses and worries at the time, and they were plenty, were all put aside, like having something to look forward to, something that when you caught up with friends, you weren't talking about maybe how rubbish the world was or the government, anything like that. You were like, oh my god, it's the new Batman movie. Have you seen the new trailer? Have you seen this and that? And we were like so excited for it. And that's what you need sometimes. That I think this can be like a big takeaway from this, is that, you know, just pursue your passions, that, and what makes you excited, that looking after yourself, like we all take our work home with us in some capacity, but find those things that you're interested in, whether it's looking forward to the next Captain America movie, whether it's listening to a certain song, whether it's like saving up money to go see a concert. Pursue those things, like take those with you every day, that when you finish work, listening to a podcast, like listening to a song you like. And I think like it definitely helps with people's mental health. Some, you know, it doesn't cure everything, but it certainly can help sometimes.
Yeah, it certainly helps me. And one of the things I'm looking forward to when this episode goes out, and I hope you share with us listeners, is what are the things that you turn to when you're stressed? What are the, you know, nerdy or not, what are the things that interest you and get you through your work day or your school day or what have you?
Yeah, and have you ever gone to see a movie about two people drinking wine in the California wine country and taken a date to see that?
Yes.
You know, am I alone?
No, yes, please share your ill-advised date movies with us.
Well, thanks very much. It was a cracking chat today, Matt. So if people want to tell you about their love for Sure, where can they find you on the internet?
That you can find me at mhansen, 0207, H-A-N-S-E-N.
And if you want to tell me how much you also love films about people drinking wine, you can find me at Lee. You can find me at Lee_Nostromo, and we can have a metaphorical wine and discuss the movie and the book. Thank you very much for today, Matt. If people want to check out other podcasts, you can listen to Nerd Nuptial. I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm so happy for Tristan and the girl, like that, you know, that episode just released last week about them announcing their pregnancy. You know, we've got so much more competition now with this little girl on the way. Tristan will be leaving us be to just talk about Captain America with this little one on the way.
Yeah, I know. And I think that little girl's going to be in good hands. She's going to be raised nerdy.
Well, my parents were not nerdy, and I turned out nerdy, so I'm expecting Riddell Jr. to turn out to be the sports star team and, you know, the go-to guy. So they're so lucky. They're going to have a beautiful girl, so I'm so happy for them. And obviously there's the Jedi Masters, you know, you won't, I'm sure there'll be zero chat about wine and crying in the cinema with them, so check them out. They've had some really good chats lately about backstories. So yeah, please check out all of the Nerd Party shows, and you know, enjoy.
And this was so much fun talking about this. Until next time, embrace your passion.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.